This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast. I'm Brett here with Carl. What's going on, man?
Using my Christmas present you got me to
finally got her going, huh?
Yeah. A little bit lower mic. It's not as visible and it's all black. You don't see a bunch of silver and it don't block my pumpkin head out.
Yeah, you can articulate that this one a little more. So
yeah, so thanks again for that.
No problem, man. I thought you needed it, so
I probably did because it, like I said, I'd put it together last Tuesday and I couldn't figure out what I was doing with it. And as soon as you said hit that little button, it works fine.
Yeah,
I gotta have to rearrange things because look, I'm blocking Linda Blair out. I'm gonna have to move her so you can see her.
She looks so cool with that green light, man.
I know, but see, I'm in the center of the screen and she's right directly behind me.
I know.
Poor Linda Blair.
Poor Linda Blair. She didn't get to work this year.
No, damn. She did not. She's pissed about that. Now she's back in the living room.
Yeah. So
she got kicked out of the kids' room.
Oh, I got my fingernails done today.
What the fuck? What color is that?
Sparkly blue.
What the fuck?
Well, I went over to go see Juliet today. I walk in the door. I get ambushed with fucking Nerf bullets.
Oh, no.
A barrage of Nerf bullets. They all attacked me.
All of them, huh?
Yeah. Well, her and Tracy got attacked with the Nerf bullets. And then after that, well, Juliet got a nail center. She's going to be a nail artist now, I guess.
I guess so.
Five. So she's like, I'm going to do your nails. I'm like, okay. She gets the pink out and I'm like, nope, no pink, any other color but pink. So she had three blues. I was like, you got any black? I'll do black. No, I ain't got no black. I'm going to get her some black if she wants to do them.
For Halloween.
Yep. So, yeah, she had three different blues. So I picked that one out. Shimmery blue or some shit, I don't know.
Oh, but wow. So I ordered yet another Evil Never Dies shirt this weekend.
Yeah, I seen that. I texted you this morning. I was like, did you order a shirt?
Yeah, in the light blue color. So that's the one you gave to Scarlett. And I thought, that's a cool looking. The red and the baby blue look good together. It's sort of Ranger color. So
yeah,
I think I now have 5 Evil Never Dies shirts.
More than I got.
Well, every time you make one, I order one. I think this last one you made was the best.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too.
So now I got 2 of those with the, yeah.
Somebody else bought one a few weeks ago too, and I ain't never heard who bought it. So they've never posted it in the group or anything either. So I don't know.
I don't know either.
If you bought that shirt, post pictures in the group.
Yeah.
And
so we're in the middle of a freeze down here in Texas now, apparently, that just hit like what, an hour ago?
Yeah. It was nice 60 earlier degrees. Today.
Yeah, it was 60 degrees and now it's like what,
28 or something. Yeah.
And it's gonna be down to like 10.
Is it gonna get that cold tonight?
I think that's going to be Sunday night.
Yeah. Sunday night into Monday morning, and they're saying ice and all that stuff. And like this will be the third year in a row.
I know. We don't usually get them.
Yeah. And the new dash cam ought to come in really handy for this.
Oh, it will, won't it?
Yeah. I got to go. That's one thing I'm going to do tomorrow when I'm editing. I'm going to go through, pull my card out of the, pull out of it and go through that. I got a couple of good ones that I acquired from driving around. So yeah, thinking about doing a YouTube channel about that. Call it Idiot DFW Drivers. What do you think?
There you go.
But yeah, so what are we doing this week, Carl?
What we were supposed to do last week and I didn't feel like doing because I don't know. I think last week, what was it going on? I think something went on last week. So we just did an evil talk that everybody hates.
Yeah, that we've had like 4 views on.
And I'm always a prick on it. So you ought to watch it just to see me be an asshole, but whatever. We are going to do The Prophecy.
Yes.
Which may or may not be a horror movie, depending on who you talk to. It's actually an angel movie. Not Angel from Buffy, but angels.
Old Testament shit.
Old Testament angels.
Yes.
So it may or may not be a horror movie, but it definitely has evil in it. So it falls within the category of Evil Never Dies. And it has Christopher Walken.
Yes, it does.
And there are 3 of them that had Christopher Walken. This is part 1. It's a trilogy. They made 2 others later, but they didn't have him in it and they sucked. So
don't think trilogy, I've ever watched them myself.
Yeah, so the trilogy is what matters because they all follow the same storyline. So we will start with The Prophecy part 1 and we will review it tonight and talk about this really cool 4K that came out from the Vinegar Syndrome folks. One of the best packages I've ever seen for a movie.
Huh.
I'm kind of loving this whole new physical media, even though you pay a lot of money for the stuff. Everything is so cool now. You just don't get a freaking plastic case. You get all kinds of cool stuff. We'll look at that a little bit later in the show.
Okay. Well, according to IMDb, this is a fantasy thriller film.
Yeah, the director made it clear and they did a little documentary on the 4K. They don't consider this a horror movie, so.
No, they don't.
I can kind of see their point.
Yeah, I didn't really see it as a horror movie.
Well, I sort of do.
Sort of, but.
I mean, there's a damn angel that gets killed and then burned and all kinds of stuff. That's pretty horror to me. Well, would it be a war movie? Because the angels are at war.
I guess. I don't know.
That's an Aska song, actually.
All right. The Prophecy, written and directed by Gregory Wyden. And he's probably most famously known for the Highlander movie and also the Highlander TV series.
Both of which were very good movie shows.
Produced so now, by...
Some of those sequels in the Highlander thing sucked, but the TV show and the movie were good. So,
yeah, the original movie, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Produced by Joel Soyson. Cinematography by Richard Claybaugh and Bruce Douglas Johnson. Edited by Sonny Baskin. Music by David C. Williams. And I'll go into that here in a little bit too, more about the score and the soundtrack. Production companies Dimension Films and First Look Pictures, distributed by Miramax Films. It was released on September 1st, 1995, after what, 2 years of production?
Yeah, it was a long production.
Has a running time of 97 minutes. Country is United States. English language. And the budget was about $8.2 million. And it only brought back $16.1 million at the theaters.
So, yeah, there was a lot of... they didn't get the budget they wanted for it either. So they actually had to cut a lot of shit that they had planned.
Yep.
And didn't get a lot of critical appeal in the beginning either, but it's since become
like a cult classic sort of.
Yeah. So it's remembered better now than it was when it came out in the 90s. I thought it was great from the beginning. What are we going over? Go over the cast.
First off, like we said, we got Christopher Walken as Archangel Gabriel. Elias.
Archangel. Not Archangel. Archangel.
Okay.
I have to use my biblical stuff here for you, I guess.
Elias Koteas as Thomas Daggett. I guess he was priest/detective.
Detective, yeah.
Virginia Madsen as Catherine. And she was really pretty in this movie, man. I like her with the dark hair better.
Yeah.
Than as a redhead or a blonde. Eric Stoltz as Simon. We got Viggo Mortensen as Lucifer.
And it was actually, he got put in that role sort of at the last minute, actually.
Amanda Plummer as Rachel. She did a cool part. She's just plays a really good freak, man.
Yeah.
Next we got Mariah Shining Dove Snyder as Mary. Adam Goldberg as Jerry. Steve Heitner as Joseph. J.C. Quinn as Burroughs. Jeff Cadiente as Uziel. Did I say that right?
No, you did not.
Uziel.
Uriel.
Well, it's spelled U-Z-I-E-L.
It's Uriel.
Okay. Patrick McAllister as Colonel Hawthorne. And Albert Nelson as himself, I guess, because it doesn't say nothing.
About himself.
Doesn't have a character name, so.
I'm gonna have to teach you angel names now, I guess.
I guess so. All right, Carl, go over the plot.
Well, the Thomas Daggett we see in the beginning is taking his like final vows to become a Catholic priest. In the middle of taking the vows, he gets this prophecy, or not a prophecy, a vision about a bunch of angels fighting and attacking the earth and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So I guess that's enough to make him decide he doesn't want to be a pastor or a priest anymore. So then we fast forward in time and he's now a detective, no longer a priest, or he never was a priest. He was seminary student.
Lost his faith.
Lost his faith in God over the vision he saw. And a lot of weird stuff starts going on. Basically, there's these two angels who are trying to kill each other. And we have success. Actually, I think he works for the LAPD, does he not? Is this an LA thing?
Yeah.
So Simon actually enters his home and warns him of the coming events. And Uriel, who is, I think, the like the general or the soldier of Gabrielle, he's killed in an altercation with Simon. So Thomas is doing the investigation and finds this really old, weird Bible. And Uriel's body has no eyes, was hermaphrodite, and had like some kind of weird blood of just weird shit going on here. So that is where we're at. Daggett starts investigating this Bible, and it gets very interesting when Archangel Gabriel shows up himself.
Yes.
And by God, eventually the devil himself shows up.
The devil himself.
Now, you know who was originally going to be the devil in this?
No.
Malcolm McDowell.
Really?
But I think he was busy killing Captain Kirk in Star Trek Generation, so they got Viggo Mortensen to come in at the last minute, I guess. So he did a great job as Lucifer.
Yeah, he did.
But we're not going to give away the movie. It's that's the general plot of it. It's they call it a non-horror movie. I say it is. So
basically, good versus evil, I guess you.
Yeah, but it's good angels against bad angels. Basically, it's another war in heaven. And Lucifer's role is he does not want another hell. So he's kind of sort of the good guy in this thing. Gabrielle is the bad guy. And of course, Christopher Walken is the best bad guy that exists. So
oh, I know. He did perfect such a casting. Good part. Such a good part in this movie, for sure.
I think he was a little, I don't know. I think maybe he, when he, the director was saying that at one point, Christopher Walken took him in a room and he said, look here, man. He said, you're a bunch of amateurs. Y'all don't know what the hell you're doing. And if y'all keep fucking up, I'm quitting. So he's like, well, I'm sorry. He's like, I just made my peace. So he never had another word out of Christopher Walken. So he said, I guess whatever I was doing wrong, I corrected it because he didn't quit.
Hmm.
But he definitely seemed to be maybe overcast for a movie of this size, the budgeting. I don't know. But it worked out really good in the end.
Yeah, it did.
He plays such a smart ass in this, too.
Yeah, he did. I wonder if his real personality is like that.
Probably.
I would say so.
It would have been cool if Malcolm McDowell had been in it, too, but.
Yeah, he would have did a good. He would have did a good Lucifer.
Yes. But again, they were had a lot of budget restraints and. They couldn't find anybody that wanted to make this movie. And I guess finally they got Miramax to jump on board.
Yeah.
Back before they were, I guess, were the Weinsteins running Miramax then? I don't even
know. And they were known for doing that stuff with the taking, filming the movie and then waiting 2 years to put it out. And I guess this was re-edited and edited and re-edited and like 3-4 times before it was finally released. So
I believe you're right about that.
Yeah. The Weinsteins or Weinsteins,
whatever the flip their name is.
They were known for doing that. They did that on a bunch of Miramax movies. I think on a couple of the Halloween movies that came out through Miramax, they did that too. They did shot a couple of years before.
I hated Miramax as a studio. And the worst part is whenever DVDs and Blu-rays started coming out, they released some of the shittiest, actually Blu-rays. I mean, absolute terrible, terrible Blu-rays.
Quality-wise,
picture-wise. The Prophecy actually looked better on DVD than the crappy Blu-ray that came out. It was that Echo Mills or Mills something company that is known for being a budget. They release budget movies. Echo Entertainment, I don't know what they're called. It was awful. Never could get a good Blu-ray of the movie. And then they finally released part one and part three, but not part two on Blu-ray, and they were just as bad. So it's been a struggle to try to get a good copy of this movie. Finally, that came out on Vudu, which was in 1080, that looked better. But finally, the wait has ended, and we now have this, the trilogy on 4K. So, you want to talk about this video?
Sure,
release?
Go ahead, man. Have at it.
This just came out this past Christmas, actually. So, this is a cool cover. You take this thing and kabloo, look at that.
Ooh.
And there's the back. You can see the back.
Does it come apart too?
No, but at this point, you get to pull the movie out. Then we get another cool case.
It's got
those are the names of the angels. The symbols are. Now, cool. The director said that when he first was going to call this movie The Prophecy, that they were worried because there was another prophecy that came out in the 80s. You remember that movie?
Yeah, 1979. It had a shaved bear with...
It had a shaved bear in it.
With shaving cream all over it. Was, yeah.
And they said that they were worried that people were going to confuse their movies, but they said apparently that never happened. So,
well, it was just called Prophecy, though.
I think so.
And this one is The Prophecy. Yeah, but so didn't they name it something else? It was a running title or something.
something like that.
Let me see. I thought I had it here. Let's see. I can't find it. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, apparently Paramount Pictures has bought the Miramax catalog, I guess. And they're shipping all their stuff out to the places like Scream Factory and Vinegar Syndrome. So this thing comes with the actual first movie on 4K. Then you get part two and part three on one disc in 4K, but they look really good because there's no extras on it. Then we have an entire disc of extras. And then there's a Blu-ray copy of the movies as well in this package. The picture is extraordinary. It's so good to see this movie finally get a proper video release. It makes me very happy. I think I gave you one of the shitty ones, didn't I?
No, because I watched it on Tubi.
Well, it probably looked better than I don't know what I did with those things.
Yeah, it didn't look bad on Tubi.
Yeah, it's probably the same one that they have on Vudu. But yeah, this is one of the, well, yeah. This Vinegar Syndrome really put out some stuff, but I'm gonna tell you what, they make you pay quite a fee for this stuff now. But like I said, this is the new world of physical media, and I'm loving it. You get all these cool packages and all these extras, and I'm loving the new world of physical media. I actually just bought a 4K copy of JFK today at the movie trading company. Got Ooh. A really good price for it, and it's packed as well. Which is now like the fourth time I've owned JFK on DVD, Blu-ray, and now 4K. So, definitely 5 stars for this 4K release. And I do commend them for giving a Blu-ray copy out as well for the few people who don't have a 4K player yet. A lot of companies aren't doing that anymore. So, Vinegar Syndrome kicked ass and took names once again.
Awesome. Oh, the running title for this was called Demons and God's Army.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
Yeah. Prophecy sounds way better.
Yeah, because it sort of kind of takes some lines out of Revelations as well, too. So
yeah,
it actually fit a lot better.
Is that all you got on your 4K there?
Yeah, there's not much more. It's just one of the coolest boxes I've seen. I like it. It's heavy duty too. I mean, like I said, you're going to pay a price for physical media now, but the stuff is just great. There was a movie Lisa was going to watch today. I can't remember the name of it. She couldn't find it anywhere, not even on Tubi, except to rent it on Amazon or Vudu for like $4. And I'm like, see, that's why I keep all my damn Blu-rays. Because if I want to watch a movie, I got it. So if it goes off the streaming crap, it's available. So I think every week I'm promoting physical media on this thing. Don't trust streaming.
Maybe you should be a spokesperson for Scare Factory, Scream Factory, or whatever it is.
Shout Factory is the actual company name. Yeah. The horror label Scream. Shout Factory is where I got my JFK. Shit, I might do my own episode just on that movie one of these days.
Shit, that'd be a couple hours. What, the movie's like 4 hours long, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
what'd you think of the soundtrack?
Very, very fucking cool.
Yep.
Especially the beginning with the monk chants.
Yep.
Then we get into some really cool shit. Let's talk about the soundtrack. You seem to have some stuff on it there, Bubba.
Yeah, they didn't release this out until 2006, dude.
Really?
Yeah, on Perseverance Records. And also there's a song by Skid Row playing at the ending credits as the credits are rolling.
I remembered that, yeah.
Breaking Down.
I don't know if this thing's on Apple Music.
No, it's not. I looked for it.
Okay, I was about to look on the iPad for it, so.
I had to pull it up on you. It is on YouTube, though. You can find it on there.
Okay.
Other pop songs included Angel in Black by Sean Amos, whoever the hell that is. Surf and Turf by Dennis Michael Tenney, whoever that is. and Best Friend by Peter Bear.
If it's that bear from the other prophecy movie. Maybe he's singing on it.
And it used the normal Christianity music, such as Ave Maria and like you said, the Gregorian chants at the beginning. And that was all performed by the choir of monks of Saint Benoit du Lac.
Now you said that good.
Probably better at French than I am anything else.
Better than biblical.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I listened to the soundtrack earlier, and it is very impressive for sure. Sort of like a rock. Some of it sort of like rock music in it, you know, in some of the scenes.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
They could have made it a little louder, maybe, playing throughout the movie. Because,
well, that might have been the audio from where you were watching it.
Yeah, maybe. This,
I don't have all the specs. I don't ever give the specs out on these movies. I know a lot of people do that, but a lot of the stuff I watch, they get a little too specky for me. I was just watching something on the JFK release, and they were like, well, this is a coded in blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't even know what none of that stuff means. So.
All right.
I don't.
That's all I got for the soundtrack.
Yeah. You gave me information on the soundtrack I didn't even know about.
Yeah. I didn't even notice this. It must have been really, the audio must have been really on the movie track, because I didn't even hear that Skid Row song at the, because I always watch the credits, dude.
Yeah.
You know, especially, they say it's rude to leave in the movie theater before the credits roll. I guess that's a thing. And I've always been taught that. And I always stay, even at the movie theater, and watch the credits. And I went with somebody one time. They're like, oh, come on, let's go. I'm like, no, like, man. Nope. Credits are rolling, man.
I know one movie you didn't stay for the credits was probably that Halloween Ends or whatever it was called. What the hell was that shitty movie called?
Halloween Ends.
Halloween Dies. What was that movie? I don't even remember the name of that shit.
Kills.
Movie. Yeah. No,
we stayed for the credits for that. That one, that ain't the piece of shit one.
I don't care anymore about those.
All right. This was nominated by the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films for Best Horror Film and Best Supporting Actor for Christopher Walken, but they didn't get it. And Fangoria Chainsaw Awards, though, Best Supporting Actress for Virginia Madsen. She won that one. And Christopher Walken won it for Best Actor. And it was nominated for Best Soundtrack in a Horror Movie and Best Makeup Effects in a Horror Movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of good basic effects in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a lot of practical. That's another reason why I like this movie.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff. All righty. Well, you want to go over some trivia here?
Yeah, we can do that. Sorry, I'm looking at football scores.
Viggo Mortensen claims that prior to shooting their scene together, Christopher Walken and himself ate several whole garlic cloves. Why? Now, why would they do that? Why?
I guess to make each other uncomfortable. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, you got Gabrielle meeting with Lucifer. I mean, that should be a very uncomfortable meeting.
So they were just trying to have evil breath, or?
I guess.
Like we talked about, this film was originally filmed in 1993 and released in 95. Weinsteins were known for that. And let's see here. Oh, the Colonel Arnold Hawthorne.
Yeah, that was a weird kind of part of the movie to me.
Well, I guess supposedly he was supposed to be like the most evilest person on Earth or something, for things he did.
More evil than Hitler?
I guess. But played by Patrick McAllister, due to the nature of his role in the long gap after It's Alive from 1974, so this was the first movie he was in since It's Alive in 1974.
Wow.
And I guess he's not officially credited in the movie, but just has a special thanks for his collaboration. Gabriel tries checking all the school kids to see if they can find who has Hawthorne's soul.
Yeah.
And he's looking into their mouths and all that, and he gives them a horn to blow. But he tells them, don't blow it too hard. Don't, because Gabriel's blowing of his horn is supposed to be the sign of the end of the world, I guess.
True, so. Yeah.
So he says, don't blow it too hard, just a little bit at a time.
The kids in this movie did a really good job.
Yeah, too. They did. Yeah, they did. It was a mixed match of all different ages and sizes. Because I guess they were like, I'm wanting to say it was Arizona probably where they were at.
Yeah, the town they filmed, they said they'd only filmed like,
mine.
Yeah, they'd never filmed a movie there before, and they always wanted to. I guess somebody has since filmed again there, but it cool town.
Yeah. But supposedly it was basically a old copper mine that had closed down, and a bunch of Native American. There's a Native American village also, and like,
yeah, and the one main little girl, she was actual Native American. Yeah. She did a wonderful job too.
Yeah,
all the
did.
actors did great in this
for being unknowns, really, most of them. Yeah. You know, it?
That's what I said. Christopher Walken was almost sort of a miscast with a lot of these unknown, and some unknown at the time and known later, actors. So it blended in real well. Or he did, or they did. It worked out well.
Christopher Walken played an eerily similar role. He was in a Madonna video for the song Bad Girl, where he played the Angel of Death.
Interesting.
And that was, it happened like right about the same time they started filming this. When Gabriel meets Jerry, the camera's focus moves around Jerry's house. For a brief moment, a photo can be seen where it appears where Jerry with his girlfriend, but she was never mentioned throughout the whole movie. But the woman who appears in the photo is named Michelle Spadoraro, the decorator of the movie. And that was her only appearance in the film. They said, hey, quit decorating, or decorate a picture of yourself and put it on the wall.
Okay.
Hawthorne's tombstone is adorned by a huge upside down cross on the left side. I didn't notice that.
I didn't either.
Might have to go back and look at that now. Because I've watched this like 3 times. I always try to look for stuff and
try to catch stuff.
Yeah. There are multiple religious references with varying levels of subtlety. When Simon is told that the girl he's about to hide Hawthorne's soul inside is named Mary, he whispers, of course. Then you have slightly less obvious ones like Thomas, the when he lost his faith, being named after the apostle who didn't believe Jesus had come back to life.
Yeah, I caught that.
Or how in the Bible, Gabriel had the power to make people fall down in shock with his mere presence, and also helped the prophet Daniel with his apocalyptic visions. I never knew that Gabriel had that much power.
Yeah, he's one of the more powerful angels. I think Michael might be the only one that outdukes him.
Christopher Walken, Amanda Plummer, and Eric Stoltz, all three appeared in Pulp Fiction, 1994, the year before this was filmed or came out. Although none of them had any scenes together in that film. In this film, he shares a screen with both actors. Yeah, he wasn't the Amanda Plummer. Wasn't she like dying or something? And he like took her over and was like made her his minion or whatever.
Yeah. You're getting into spoilers now.
All right, I'll stop it.
Stop spoiling, damn you. Don't do it.
Oh, as Gabriel gets ready to pull Urziel, is that I say it that right that
no,
time?
No.
out of the cooler, you can see a handwritten sign in the red marker that says freezers are for bodies, not beer.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that? Okay.
I did see that. And again, it might have been because of the 4K. It's very visible.
Elias Koteas and Eric Stoltz previously starred together in Some Kind of Wonderful from 1987.
Well, I guess some of these people been in some bigger movies than I knew about.
This was Virginia Madsen's second horror film. What was her first, Carl?
I have no idea.
Candyman from 1992.
I didn't know all these people were in other movies. You're the researcher, not me.
I thought you would have known that. I thought you
knew. No.
Probably because she had dark hair in this movie and she's a redhead in that.
You know, that's probably exactly why. Now that you mention it, it makes sense.
Oh, let's see here. Not much stuff on this. Gabriel refers to humans as talking monkeys.
Yeah.
And in the most poetic way as Christopher Walken can say it. That's fucking funny. All right, that's about all I got for spoilers.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
No.
On this, Carl?
Nothing.
All right. Well, let's hear your view.
Always loved The Prophecy from when it first came out on, I didn't see it in a theater. Don't even remember it being in the theater, but I bought it or got it on video pretty quick as soon as it came out. Always been fond of it. Like I said, my biggest thing was it was a good DVD release, but after that, the Blu-ray sucked. There was no extras, sort of just fell into nothingness. And now I've got a prime copy of it, and it's definitely one of my favorite movies, not of all time, but of this genre. It's sort of sits in its own little world. So in a nutshell, I mean, like I said, I don't remember half these people being in other movies. I'm glad you brought it up. Especially the Candyman thing. I don't even recognize her being from Candyman. But I do love The Prophecy.
Now you won't be able to unsee it next time you see Candyman.
Yeah, I will. I do love The Prophecy. It's a little slow in places, always has been. It pays off in the end. I don't know. I guess Prophecy should get about a 4 out of 5. That's about where I would put it.
Okay.
I really can't give it any lower, and I can't really give it any higher, but it is a movie that I do enjoy. It's the best of all of the Prophecy movies.
Yes, it is, for sure.
So I'll give it a 4. Angel Halos of 5.
Okay. All right. I haven't seen this movie probably since it came out, to be honest with you.
Damn. Well, there's reasons, because you couldn't find it hardly except on.
Yeah. I think I actually. When did they release the DVD on this? Do you know?
I don't remember, but I know I bought it because back then, Miramax,
I think it was
actually,
like 96.
Probably.
When it came out.
They actually, Miramax put out good DVDs. They just, I guess maybe they were having issue. Well, they got bought by Disney at one point or something. So the Blu-rays are what was so bad. But I had the DVD came out pretty quick after the movie, I thought.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm thinking too. Because I don't remember this being in the theater either.
Mm-mm.
I think I remember seeing trailers for it, but I don't think I ever went to the theater and seen it either.
I did not see it in the theater. especially in the mid-90s, I would have remembered because that was sort of the dead zone for horror movies, even though they claim this isn't one. I say that it is. And apparently Fangor agreed with me, so there you go.
Okay. But yeah, the practical effects in it, lots of burning effects and burnt people and stuff. So, just the good versus evil thing, you know, I've always been a fan of them kind of movies, you know?
Well, this is a turn where you got the evil angels.
Yeah.
But you know, if angels are supposed to be mean,
but
they're not nice little fellows. They were soldiers.
Yep, soldiers. But yeah, I like this movie. I've watched it 3 times in the last 2 weeks. Because
I could have swore I gave you a copy of that.
I don't know. Maybe you did. Maybe it's in my stack over here.
I think I did.
But
I think it was one of the better copies that Lionsgate got involved in it at some one point and put out a semi better quality one.
But I think I actually had this on DVD.
I've still got it on DVD, believe it or not, because I never would get rid of the DVD because could never get a good replacement. It's in the movie closet that has like 1,000 DVDs and Blu-rays in it. The people don't realize what's in the I have displayed in the museum is just a small portion of my movie library.
Just a smidgen.
Things get moved out of there and into the closet. And then there's a crate with movies in it as well. So I don't know how many movies I actually own. A lot.
Way more than I got. I used to have a lot, but most of mine used to be burned copies. Because I had a good friend at the video store.
So what's your rating on this thing?
I'm going to give it a 3.5. You know, Christopher Walken, he never disappoints in anything he does. So,
no.
Big fan of his since The Dead Zone, man.
Exactly. There's a good copy of that on 4K out now as well.
Oh, is there really?
There is.
I think I got it on Blu-ray. I think I found it in the $5 bin at Walmart.
Yeah, I probably did. Actually, I got mine. I've got like a few, like an anthology of movies that came in a box, and it was one of them.
But yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.5 for
sure. Fair enough.
That's as high as I can go. It was
Well, it's sort of special to me because I enjoy the whole biblical aspect of the movie. Probably.
Well, so do I. I love them kind of movies too, you know. And just Christopher Walken just knocked it out of the park, you know.
Definitely did.
I give him a 5 for him doing his part. But overall, the whole movie, a 3.5.
There's one part they said that he had to stand on the edge of the building and they had to build a platform because they said he was scared he was going to fall off the building.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember that scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's all my right. Last bit of trivia.
All right.
I'm done. Well,
that's all we got for The Prophecy.
Part one.
Now I'm going to have to go watch the other two with Walken in them for sure.
Well, go find the Blu-ray I gave you that's a shitty copy. Probably look better on Tubi, honestly, but I think I did give you one of those.
Yeah, they're all on Tubi. I think all 4 or 5 of them.
Everything's on Tubi.
Always give a shout out to Tubi, too.
So we do, yeah.
Watch a lot of stuff on there, man.
Tubi's owned by the Fox Corporation, and then they It's free and the ads are very minimal, so Tubi definitely gets some credit.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for watching, listening, and like and subscribe if you want. And Apple review would be nice. Haven't had one of those in a while.
You say that every time. If it were me, I wouldn't do one just in spite of you.
Ooh, you're being vicious there. All right, everybody. We will talk. I'll talk to you Wednesday. And
maybe.
Maybe.
Unless
I'm frozen and encased in ice.
Yeah. Going to turn into the Hoth planet here.
All right, everybody. Stay evil.
Mary.
What?
Can you keep a secret? The biggest secret ever.
Centuries ago, a second coming was foretold.
What did he say to you, Mary?
He asked if I could keep a secret.
What was that?
Something he gave me.
But what's coming?
He wants something. Something that's here.
Isn't what anyone expects.
Oh my God.
It's a war in heaven.
Over what?
Us. Humans.
Christopher Walken, The Prophecy.